Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullist, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Not all that glitters is gold. Half the story has never been told.
Because righteousness governs the world.
Come take a musical journey from the suburbs of Long Island to the ghettos of Kingston. A heartbreaking overdose. A disturbing discovery. The last chance to redeem a stolen legacy.
Broadcasting live and direct from the rolling red hills on the outskirts of Kingston, Jamaica. From a magical place at the intersection of words, sound, and power. The red light is on. Your dial is set. The frequency in tune to the Rootsland podcast. Stories that are music to your ears.
In the reggae anthem Get Up Stand Up, the Wailers sing, "Not all that glitters is gold. Half the story has never been told. My friend Brian always dreamed he could make the world a better place. Maybe by me telling his story, he still can."
Consequence Podcast Network presents Rootsland, Season 1, Reggae Junkie Joe.
Whole barrage of righteous people out there.
Because sometimes the story is the best song.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you so much for making your way, checking out this series, checking out this episode. Hopefully you dig what you hear enough to hit the subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, a brand new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So if you want to keep up with all of your favorite artists, if you want to discover some new ones, just know what's happening in the music world, hit that subscribe button. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, YouTube, anywhere you like to get your podcasts from. That's where you'll find us, Kyle Meredith with. And that's me, I'm Kyle Meredith. Today I'm going to be talking with Mr. Ben Howard. He's got a brand new record called Collections from the Whiteout. And this is a record that finds him teaming up with Aaron Dessner of The National, co-writing and producing with him. And they get more experimental. They're doing some insanely cool things on this record that Ben and I are going to be talking about. He's also going to be telling us about the real-life characters that he writes about in this record. Donald Crowhurst, Richard Russell, both who had very tragic deaths, died by suicide, one in a boat, one in an airplane, just kind of alone with lots of mental health problems. So I want to hear about why he's attracted to that kind of story, as well as weaving dark humor into his art. You get that in some of his videos, but he tells us that he has to make sure that he balances that with some light that you'll also hear all throughout this record as well. He's a globetrotter. Ibiza, Paris, New York, there's some other towns, cities across the entire globe that he wrote and recorded this record in. So I want to hear about how that influences the music as well. So let's do this, talking about the record Collections from the Whiteouts. It's Kyle Meredith with Ben Howard.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for such a positive introduction.
No problem, man. Well, you definitely deserve it. Every release that you put out is something refreshing and interesting. This record, it's like, this is sounds that I don't think we actually expected from you this time around. And the way it's came out, I mean, it's so cool what you're doing. And I know it's got a cool little backstory. So let's start back. I'm even going to cheat off the press release here, because I think that ties back to an Aaron Dessner track called St. Agnes, right? What was it about the song that spoke to you, and how did it relate to the direction that you've gone in?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Probably it's about a 14-minute song. So it spoke to me, and it kept speaking to me. And I think, yeah, I guess by the end of it, the story goes that, you know, by the end of it, I sort of decided I should text Aaron and see if he wanted to play some music. But yeah, it was sort of a build-up of, you know, Aaron popping up in a lot of places. I've loved a lot of records he's made in the past. But I wasn't really too busy at the time. I was kicking my heels and not really making the most of it. And decided to get in touch with Aaron and see if he wanted to play some music. And yeah, luckily he said yes. And we sort of started playing around with a lot of different noises.
I know his approach can be tricky for some artists. I mean, I talk about, you know, he works with the People Collective a lot. And for those who don't know, it's sort of this thing where it's like crowdsourcing to a specific group of people these sounds, and everybody kind of adds their own things into it. I don't know if you worked exactly like that, but what was your process? Because even when it's not everybody involved, it's still something a little bit less hands-on for some artists than usual.
I guess our process was pretty flexible, really. I mean, a lot of the time it was me kind of trying to get wonky delayed guitar parts on a record finally, or like more of them on a record. And you know, Aaron, he's very versatile on a lot of different instruments, so playing a lot of keys and you know, messing around with drum beats and machines, and you know, just having fun and seeing what stuck. I like a lot of, you know, Aaron has a great way of just pulling a cyclical riff out of somewhere, and it's quite, I don't know, there's a lot of melodic things that were sort of clicking in my brain at the time, and it was pretty effortless, really. We just had a good time, you know, making noises, and luckily John was there to sort of press record every now and then. Luckily he wasn't there some days as well, and he didn't press record.
Now you take a groove like Sage, that song Sage That She Was, what's the whole title of it?
Yeah, Sage That She Was Burning.
Yeah, that's it, Burning. You taking a groove like that, is it different to write over something like that than more of a, I guess, traditional song?
Yeah, I mean, the sevens makes it pretty hard. I'm sort of a fairly conventional in that respect. So yeah, tricky. I think probably that one out of all of them was difficult piecing bits together. You know, when you're sort of working with strange time signatures, you always, unless you're a highly literate musician, it's sort of a bit of a guessing game for me. Probably why that hasn't got any guitar on it, because I don't think I've played a guitar part in 7/8 ever.
And I can't even tell you that part. You know, what's the time? I just know it sounds different. That's the important part of that.
Well, yeah. that's the joy of these sort of, you know, little music elements. They sort of, I've always seen music as, you know, passing sentiments and whether it captures a little moment. And, you know, sometimes it just takes something a little bit wonky to kind of open up a little vision of, you know, if you feel something different and you don't know why. So there's a trick with that one. It's in a weird time signature.
Well, there's a lot of those moments through there. And then when you take the opposite side of this record, when you get into what you're singing about the lyrics, first off, you know, there's a couple names that jump out. One of them in one of the first singles for the record with Crowhurst meme, I guess about Donald Crowhurst, another one about Richard Russell. Now, these are two names, the stories I think I was a little familiar with, the names less so, and it's been interesting to kind of dive into those. Was it specifically those people, those real life people that inspired those songs?
Yeah, I mean, loosely, very loosely. The Richard Russell one, yeah.
It's you know, for people that don't know, could you give the quick backstory? Because one's basically a boat and one's basically a plane, but it's not the happiest of stories, right?
Yeah, I suppose they're both kind of fairly, you know, tragic characters, tragic events. It just, you know, a couple of little stories that I found, you know, emotive, I suppose. Felt like there was a song to them, perhaps.
It's an interesting thing too. Both of them died by suicide in their respective vehicle, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
And both in isolation in those moments. It sounds like maybe that was sort of coincidence by I guess the tone of your voice right now. But, you know, I'm if I'm drawing parallels that aren't there, you know, please stop me. But I guess, you know, in a time, and I know this is written pre-pandemic, but in a time, you know, that isolation has been there. I don't know, what's the relationship with the real world and what's happening with these two fellas?
Well, I suppose, yeah, there was definitely a point in the record where, you know, I think I'm always attracted to those kind of the tragic stories, but not because of, I think there was definitely a moment in the record where there was starting to be a build-up of these characters, these ill-fetted characters, and there was certainly a moment where I thought we need to write some more positive songs. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, it's strange, the crossover. It's like I don't think you're ever writing too far from your time and your current position. I think I always put a lot of pressure on myself to sort of be a bit more relevant, rather than sort of being whatever sort of strange place I found myself in. But I've started to become comfortable with the fact, you know, you are implicitly influenced by your time and your place and the stories that come out there. And, you know, we're all sort of fabrications, really. It's quite hard to keep yourself away from the exterior world, not let it influence you entirely. So perhaps that was kind of perhaps what I was going at. You know, there's a crossover between all of it. Perhaps it's a load of nonsense.
I mean, however it works out, though, that's such an interesting writing trick. I mean, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat, a lot of ways to, you know, approach a song and what you're writing about, to take on something like this, to take on real life characters and sort of make it poetic. I mean, is there a hope of what you want to do with that story right there? Is it like a continuation, you know, the fictionalized what if moments?
I'm not really taking on characters and sort of writing great sort of character assessments. It's more just little passing feelings. And I think, you know, that's what songs are, you know, just these little moments where they explain a kind of, whether it's in the music or whether it's in the words or whether it's the sort of the fusion of styles or the fusion of both those elements of that. Does it explain a little fleeting moment and a passing thought? And does it spell it out well enough? Does it ask a question, or does it allude to something that you couldn't put your finger on? So it's not like, you know, they're pretty simple lyrically. I mean, they're vague, if anything, you know, they're not like, I haven't written a sort of hour by hour analysis of anyone, really. It's more just perhaps how those, whether there was a sentiment in there that I thought was missed or comes across.
Well, it certainly ends up being, I guess, an unintentional history lesson, which is what I love. I mean, I like a song that I can dig deeper in. You know, you presented one thing and I was able to get so much more out of it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
those are my favorite songs right there. You also, I think, indirectly did that with the, was it the video to What a Day, because you mentioned that the Two Dead Boys poem, which is something that I hadn't thought about since I was a child. You know,
I think, you know, England is sort of littered with that sort of nonsense rhyme and language and poetry, and I think England always has, you know, there's a lot of humor and a lot of writers, and I've always read them and always just thought perhaps I could try and weave it in there, just a little kind of nonsense story and a bit of humor, you know, like just to just seem like a fun idea for a video.
Reading about, you know, piecing this record together over a year and a half or whatever it was, and the many different places you were in, I mean, I think, the, you know, Ibiza's in there and Paris is in there and New York is in there and wherever else, do you find that the influence of those places all make their way into the record? I mean, can you hear the sounds of those cities?
Maybe, yeah, maybe not the sounds of the specific places, but the sort of they had an effect on what came out for sure. I think that's, I'm always trying to keep my ears and eyes sort of open and sensitive to places, and I think I move on purpose because of that, you know, change location, because that's the easiest thing to do to kind of be to keep you on your toes maybe. But yeah, there's certainly, when I listen to it, there's little aspects that I think that sounds at certain places. You know, Paris has got a stamp on it. I mean, it's referenced in Spain and in England and New York. But I guess that, you know, we were recording them in all those places, so I know which bit was which.
Maybe not so obvious as we're hearing it ourselves. Of all of those, I mean, there's a lot of romantic places that you've just named right there. To me, you know, like, Ibiza might be one of, because I have this image in my head, like, what is it like there these days? Because again, you know, it's such a, we have that image of music and the old 60s and 70s era in it. I mean, do you still find that romance in that city?
It's got its thing to it. You know, it's a big melting pot. A lot of, people from all over Europe. I guess traditionally it's been a sort of an island that's been invaded quite a lot of times. It's sort of an island of pirates. But then, you know, there's a big Latin American culture here as well. The sort of the Ibicenco Catalan culture as well. It's a real melting pot, and yeah, it's just quite a fusion of interesting people and ideas. You got everything from builders to and everything else. There's tons to go through here.
Is that, did I read this right? That's the place where you've built a studio, I guess, out of your grandfather's old jazz club?
No studio. And the jazz bar is long since closed. He's still around though, yeah.
What a cool story. I mean, of all the things, the jazz bar, you know, in the 60s, that's...
Yeah, they were big into jazz back then. It was sort of the thing, wasn't it? The beatniks and the jazz. I feel like, you know, I don't know whether the jazzers were the ones that sort of traveled more or something, but yeah, there was plenty of good music back then.
Well, I'll close out by kind of bringing it back around to the album title, Collections from the Whiteout. Just kind of curious, like, what does the Whiteout represent here?
It's just a good word, really. It's sort of, it's good, and it's, you can look out on your snowy window and, that is traditionally a whiteout or a form of a whiteout, but, I just liked it. It's a pretty word, and it's hard to translate, and it just felt right for the time being, you know. It felt, you know, when we were putting it together, it's sort of, same with Collections, really. So it gave me an excuse to put a load of songs together that I thought maybe didn't fit together. But yeah, it's just a word.
No, it's kind of the perfect sentiment for it. It really, I mean, by chance, from what it sounds like, it's kind of the perfect sentiment for it. As an album, it's an album. I mean, you call it Collections, but it flows so nicely. I love what you're doing here. I mean, this direction, everything, the way you've kind of pieced it all together, it's fantastic. And I can't thank you enough for taking the time to talk about it today too, Ben.
Ah, well, thank you. Glad you're enjoying it. Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Well, take care out there. I hope we see you around when the touring resumes. And again, congratulations on this new album.
Yeah, nice one. Cheers.
All right, take care. Bye.
Thanks, mate.
My thanks to Ben Howard. Again, the brand new record is called Collections from the Whiteout. Thanks to you for checking out this episode, making your way over here. Please, please hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. Again, you can find us at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast. There's a video version at YouTube. Anywhere you get your podcast from, just subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Also, after, head over to WFPK.org. That's where you'll find me Monday through Friday, hanging out at 6 p.m. Eastern with an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. It's just a really fun hour of music at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. I'm also on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them at Kyle Meredith, over on TikTok at Kyle Meredith 81. Please like and follow along and say hi when you do. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Do you read Stephen King? Good news. There's a club for you. The Losers Club. Every Friday, us losers journey through the never-ending wastelands of King's Dominion. We sink our teeth into each of King's novels, dive deep into the lore, and review every adaptation. Even better, we're always having guests over. Thomas Jane, Will Wheaton, Mary Lambert, Mick Garris, the list goes on. So what are you waiting for? Join us as we read on through long days and pleasant nights.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.